I had a week with the Lord this week, and I've come to a realization that I'm actually a lukewarm Christian. Then I have some of the stuff here. We often don't like the Christians who speaks about the truth. Those who speaks about heaven and hell. The scariest book in the Bible for me was Revelations. But now, after this week, it's the book I want to study the most. I would sit and watch a movie, and when the best part of the movie is going to happen, then my mother suddenly comes in. We have to enter the room, and then she comes in. Let's talk about Lazarus. Just when the best part of the movie is going to happen. But with a mother like mine always speaking the truth, I can't say, I'm not in the mood, I have to do this, I have to go sit. Because of we are the youth, the future, I'm a person who liked celebrities very much. I follow them, I watch them. My mother said, stop watching the Kardashians. Oh, they are demonic. How can the Kardashians be demonic? And this week I studied a lot of things about the Illuminati. And I watched a lot of exposes videos about the Illuminati. It scared me that these people sold their souls to the devil and that they are demonic. And in the music, I didn't know why I don't want to read the Bible. I struggle. I'm not in the mood to read the Bible. I didn't know why I struggle to read the Bible. But we are listening to this music. And through this music, they want to, the celebrities who sold their souls, like Christians work, to bring us to the Lord. They work to take us down because they worship the devil. Just like we, when we praise Jesus, we would throw up our hands like this and to Jesus. These people would do the 666, the horns, they manipulated us to think this is a peace sign. But this is actually the sign of the devil. So this stuff works through us. And I didn't want to believe history because I like Justin Bieber. So why would I believe he's a demonic person? But now, first I thought if Justin would visit me, I would open the door, let him in, go crazy. But now, when I see this person run away, lock the doors. Okay. So this year, it was a great experience at youth. The thing that stand out the most this year was when Moja talked about, are you hot for the Lord? Something moved him. I could feel something. Jesus is working through me, convicting me because I'm not out for Jesus. We can do so many stuff for the world. We can worship celebrities, go on, but we don't have time to read the Bible. We don't have time to speak about Jesus all day, but we can do all this stuff. So, something worked through me, and I felt very guilty because I'm here every day at the youth when the teacher says, we should come and stand in front and who wants to read the Bible? I didn't stand up and read it, but I'm a Christian. But I didn't go and read the Bible. But now I feel hot for the Lord. And this week we're going on the youth camp and I want another encounter with Jesus there.
Amen. Thank you, Tony. Fantastic. I just want to read a scripture for us quickly. This is Paul speaking to Timothy, and he says this, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word and conduct and love and spirit and in faith and purity. Till I come, give attention to the reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. So this is Paul just encouraging a young man, saying to him, listen, Bri, do not let anyone despise you because you are young. So I want to encourage all the parents in the room. You heard the testimony of what happened at our youth this year. Then we was a bit lukewarm. Then we started speaking the truth. And we have a saying at our youth group, David and I. It's like, we will not compromise the truth for anybody. So we will keep on speaking the truth because we believe that the young people do not want anybody to lie to them right now. They just want somebody that's going to be there to speak the truth and speak into their lives what the Lord is actually saying. So I'm excited about our youth group, and I'm excited about taking some of our youth to the camp. And I just want to say thank you to everyone that contributed this year for the camp. Thank you very much.
Okay, hello everyone. Tien's asked me just to share something brief about the worship team. So I actually want to, for those of you who know me a bit, know that I work as a high school teacher. So I was thinking about some questions actually to start my testimony with. So I want to ask you, just very informally, why do you think it's important for us to worship in church? It's a very easy question. Why do you think it's important? Who wants to give an answer? JP?
It's supposed to be a natural outflow of the Lord's children come together. Just to be drawn close to him. Yeah.
Okay. So he's saying that that when we come together, it's a natural outflow of our relationship with him. But I wanna also know, why would you think it's important that when we are together that we worship as a congregation? Okay, I think Rosita said two important things there. She said to invite the Lord, to invite his presence to come and dwell with us, and also to the outflow of our relationship to give gratitude to what he's done in our lives. Now, I actually think that first part can go two ways. In the first case, I think that that when we worship God, it's a vehicle for his presence to come, and really for him to come and manifest his presence around us, because, you know, he says that he's enthroned by the praises of his people. He loves to come and dwell in the midst of, he's attracted to praise and worship. When there where he's praised and where he's exalted, the presence of the Lord is attracted. But on the other hand, I also think that praising God also takes us to him. Because often, you know, when we're in a place where we're not worshiping and not necessarily in that space, you know, there's many distractions. So when we stop and we start worshiping, we are ourselves are also, as a vehicle, worship takes us to God and to his throne, and to be in that quiet place where we quiet our own hearts. And the reason why I wanted to ask you this is because I think for me, also one of the biggest reasons why I just love worshiping God is I feel that when I praise and worship God, everything that's bothering me, everything that's distracting me becomes smaller, and God becomes bigger in my life, and my view, which often I find, you know, gets so small, when I come into that place of worshiping God, everything just opens up again. And because I'm worshiping God, I'm reminding actually myself as well of all the characteristics. You know, we praise him for his love, we praise him for his mercy, for his faithfulness, and all those things. And I'm again also refreshed, you know, who is this God that I'm serving? And that's actually at the beginning of the year, God gave me a word for the worship team this year and for the church to say that this will be a year of growth in the congregation of Franschhoek, both in the team and in the congregation. And not necessarily in numbers, but in our hearts, having a hunger and a thirst to worship God for us as a band and also for the congregation. So I want to give thanks today at this service just for the growth that I've seen both in the team and in the congregation. I've really experienced this year such a pure hunger for us to come and worship God despite what's going on in our own lives. Sunday after Sunday, you know, the band preparing their hearts for worship, praying faithfully for the congregation, and I believe the congregation also coming ready in anticipation to worship God. And the one can't go without the other. And I really want to just say thank you to God, firstly, for his faithfulness in doing that in our hearts, because we can't do that in ourselves. You know, obviously we come with a willingness, but the Holy Spirit facilitates the process of preparing our hearts to worship God. So I'm just so thankful for the growth that that I've really seen this year in the team and also in the congregation. And I want to pray that really just goes from strength to strength and glory to glory, that we will continue to come here Sunday after Sunday, really despite our circumstances, and come and say, God, whatever is going on in our lives right now, we want to meet with you and we want to worship you, because God is always worthy of our worship. So that's really my heart. And just to conclude, I also just feel for next year, that next year will really be a year where God wants to also start moving a bit more in the prophetic, in worship and also in prayer in the church. That's what I have on my heart for next year. And I pray that the congregation will be faithful to facilitate that process and to give that space for God to come and speak to us, to speak into our lives and build us up as his people. Let's really also pray into it and have an expectation for God to use the gifts that he's given each one of us, because he's given each one of us a different gifting. And I really believe God wants to start from everyone bringing that gift as a service to the body, to equip and to edify the body of Jesus. Thank you.
Jens asked me to just give a short testimony of the intercession group or the prayer group. And what came to mind this morning is when Johnny speaking yesterday about how him and Tony DeLesti pray for their grandchildren every day. Is it together? Okay. They've got something that binds them. They've got a heart for their grandchildren, for the next generation. And for us as well, you know, we've got something that binds us together. We've got our belief in God. We've got our community, our church, our congregation that we're working together to build. And we've got the body of Christ that we're working together to build. And we've got our town that we're working together to build. And we've got our nation that we're working together to build. And so I think there's a place where God wants us to come together and to pray together and to stand in faith together. And we must also not be afraid of, there are scriptures that refer to, you know, don't come out and just pray in groups and pray where people can see you. There are those scriptures, but we mustn't let that make us afraid to come together or to keep us from coming together. That's all about our hearts, our motivation. We must check our motivation and we must pray at home fervently, but use the opportunities that we have to come together. I think God's made major shifts in our country and across the world through mobilizing prayer warriors in this year. I'm just standing amazed. Last year, I was amazed when I got to the end of the year and there wasn't like an apocalypse, you know, that we were praying. And this year, at the end of the year, there's been lots of positive things that have happened globally, and that's just renewed my hope. And yeah, I think what's been nice in the prayer group, we've united our hearts on those things, on our church and on our community and on our country, and we know we've come together and we've done it, and we've participated in that, and it's been a great journey, and it's been very dynamic. You know, we serve an awesome God, and to come together and search for the mind of Christ together is a exciting, wonderful, dynamic journey. And today I just have this the scripture this morning I got was from Acts 17, verse 26, and it says, "And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of our own poets have said, for we are also his offspring." So, that's just a beautiful scripture to me, that God is not far off, but we've been placed here in an appointed time, and we can grope for God together in the hope that we will find him. Thank you.
Morning once again. I'm just going to share briefly on Prochorus. I started with Prochorus at the beginning of 2015 and been working with them ever since. Basically went to from project coordinator to operations manager this year, and it was very challenging in the beginning. We kind of started off with a lot of zeal, and we ran into a lot of things, and we started a lot of projects, and eventually it ended up being me managing like 7 projects or something, which was a bit intense. So it was a challenging year just due to some financial strain and structures and things. And so I was trying to hold all these projects together throughout this year, and I learned a lot and I grew a lot, and it was a very new area for me as well, because I haven't been in the MPO world for most of my life. I've only been in it since 2015. We've got quite a number of, or a few projects still running. That's the Feeding Bag Initiative, which actually also has become part of the Rapid Relief Project, which is in collaboration with our biggest funder. So they give us the funding so that we can stockpile for shack fires and things like that. And yeah, that's some of the other things we give out for emergencies and stuff like that. So that's one of our projects. Then we've got the Youth Forum still running. We also had aftercare centers, but we had to downscale quite a bit, and things were quite unstable with me trying to hold everything together, and I couldn't give all my time to everything. It was very challenging for me. I was praying a lot and trusting God a lot to really hold things up and really make things just get established and last. It was a tough year, but a year where I learned that my success in His eyes aren't measured by earthly standards. And that was an important thing for me to actually realize, that I didn't need to hold up everything, because it was a thing that God kind of, I think, actually had to shake off. And he had to downscale it so that the structure can be set right again. And as long as I'm still in Prochorus, Prochorus will always exist. It won't die, because that's my heart. It's my passion. I'm called to be here, serve the community, and that's my heart, and I'll do it. And we're looking to just run with what we are successful in at the moment, and really trust God to show us what we should do and what's going to bear fruit, instead of just running with zeal and less wisdom. So I just want to thank each and every person as well that really supported and helped us along the way. It was a tough year. We had some volunteers at the beginning of the year, like Jubilee and Melissa as well. Thanks so much for all the effort and all the like financial support and the giving of clothes. And thanks. I love you guys so much as a congregation, as a family. And continue to pray for us. Continue to give support where you can. We do need it. And I'm excited for next year, actually. I'm very excited, because I kind of have a lot more clarity now of where God wants to run and go. So, amen. So that's it in a nutshell. I have a massive heart for the community. I have a massive heart to see social boundaries actually be broken down, even within the church structure, you know. And that's a very, very important thing. Yeah, we'll see how that goes, and it seems to be a direction God's leading me in how to become properly inclusive as relating on the level of brokenness rather than just holiness. Amen? Okay. Thanks.
Lisa, would just like to share briefly on our prison ministry year.
This is what the prisoners can make. And my whole heart is in this box. The prisoners are people like you and me. They need us. People don't love them anymore. They feel sometimes useless, without hope. But I thank the Lord for sending me to prison. If you read some of the things in this book, your heart will break. Children from 5 years old, where a mother said to the child, "You are a dog, you are not my child." This is breaking our hearts. But I thank the Lord for prison ministry. I just want to share how I got to prison ministry. I think every one of us, no one of us will ever think that some of us can get to prison. And a few years back, as I began my walk with the Lord, my nephew ended up in prison. And I was like crying. I love him so much. I couldn't think. It felt to me that he's dead. He's dying because prison is some place. Wow. And there was the first time the Lord challenged me to pray because they want to send him to Portsmouth. And I said, Lord, how will I ever come to Portsmouth? Because I'm from Franschhoek. I don't even know a prison. And I need to go to him because I don't want to leave him there alone. Because all of our families are afraid of stuff like this. And I said, Lord, if it need to be me, then let it be me. And that was the first answer of prayer because the Lord answered my prayers and he sent him to Drakenstein prison. And from that time, I go to prison. And going to prison there, I was afraid at first. But when I see the people, it's just normal people like you and me. When I hear the stories, it's like parents don't want them. There's no father figure. And that's how I see. So the heart of the prisoners is they look for stuff to satisfy them because they don't know Jesus. They don't know a father or a mother. So it really broke my heart and it softened my heart like such. I just want to be at prison. And in my former church, I was praying, Lord, can the people go to prison, like to tell the prisoners about Jesus so that there's hope. And that's why this church is coming in. I was in this church for 2 weeks. And Pastor Tien said, if there's anyone who wants to go in prison ministry, I want you to go with me. And you know what? The Holy Spirit didn't even need to say to me, it's you, Leroy. I was feeling, wow, I'm in the right place. I want to go to prison ministry. So it's 2 years now. And in these 2 years, I never looked back. There wasn't a moment, a day that I didn't go to prison ministry. And I went through a lot of challenges this year. Such as, I don't want to preach anymore. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. But the Lord is so faithful, you know. He's taking the interns away from me. He's taking teens to a bigger group. Moja to a bigger group. Just only me and my guys. And I know what the Lord wants to do. He wants me to realize that when he is putting someone in a place, he's doing it. He's know why he's doing it. And it was so beautiful for me seeing them grow, seeing how they are longing for a mother. There's just one little small testimony of one of our sons. We all love him. He's really so beautiful. His name is Danda. And he's coming in this morning into the group. And I look at him and he looks so down. And I ask him what's wrong. And he said to me, it's got a massive headache. But while I looked at him, the Lord just showed me it's not a headache. He's longing for a mother to just give him a hug. And I said to him, come, let I just hug you. And I pray with him. And afterwards, I was sharing it in the group that the Lord showed me that many of them are just longing for someone to give them a hug, to love them. And afterwards, when we're done worshiping, I asked him, Tanda, how are you feeling? And he said to me, no, Sister Liza, I'm healed. Because what you have spoken about, that was what I was longing for. I was missing my mother with everything in me. And I was longing for someone to give me a hug. And when you said that words, I just remember that the Lord has remembered me. He knows about me. He knows what I'm going through. There were so many challenges for me going to prison. You know, my husband is not saved yet. And people, you think I tell you every time about that. Maybe that you think about me. No, but I've got a beautiful husband, a really tender-hearted husband. And I know if he come to the Lord, I don't know what's happened, but I know it's going to be good. And this morning, I went to prison. I need to went to prison. And he asked me before he leave, he just want a little sandwich with cheese on it. So he come back, and I know the devil is using him. Then he said to me, I don't want that. I don't want a little slice of tomato. And I said to myself, look at the time I need to leave for prison ministry because I'm so afraid Tien is driving without me. But I do it for my husband because I said to myself, Lord, please, I need you more than ever. And you know what? He said to me, I don't want that. Please, you need to bake me an egg. And I said, Lord, please. Why? What's wrong with this man? Why? And I look up and I said, Papa, you know what? And he showed me the face of Teens. And I said, Lord, why are you showing me Teens? I know I need to go to Teens. And he showed me again. And I said, and he just reminded me that Teens is going to be 5 minutes late. I will keep him there. I will keep him inside for 5 minutes more. You know what? And I said, Lord, I'm going to my sons and I need you so much. I don't want to look about whatever the devil is want to do now through this man. I need to go to prison. And you know what? The ache is done. I'm running after church because I need to come here. When I come here, Tiens is just coming out of the house. I said, Papa, you are so awesome. So now I come at church. We are going to prison here. Pastor Henry is. I don't know this guy. But I see, oh, he's so beautiful. And I just love him. And I ask him, what's your name? Where you come from? And he said, he's coming from Malawi. And I said to myself, Lord, I was at prison ministry. But I want to invite him to come and eat in at my house. But my husband is not okay. But you said you love him. So please change him so that Pastor Henry can come. And when I go home from prison ministry, the guys have sing my favorite song of More Fire. And you know, if that guys are worshiping guys, you will feel the angels surrounding the place. Ask JP, ask anyone who goes to prison. Because the Lord is there. Their faces are shining for the Lord. In a place like that where we would thought, I didn't have time for quiet time. I didn't have time for stuff like this. They are so faithful. So this day I come from them, and I feel my face is shining like them. And there I find my husband in the vineyards. He's standing there. And I said to my love, and I said, hi, love, where are you? Were you happy at prison? And I said, Lord, this is you. Because this man was like, you're not going anywhere. But the Lord softened his heart. Such a way, and I said, that's my chance. I said to him, you know what, Pastor Henry is coming to us for lunch. And he said, do you know him? I said, no, I don't know him, but we can just invite him. Okay, I will be there. And you know what, he was there, and Pastor Henry come to our place. And Pastor Henry tell him everything about prison and what we made there and everything. And he said to Pastor Henry, one thing that really touched my heart, and he said to Pastor Henry, you know what, I know all these things. Because my wife loved them so much. She's always talking about them. So I know that whenever it looks like no one is listening to you, keep on telling them. Because they are listening. Somehow they are listening. So prison ministry, guys, it's a beautiful, beautiful mystery. You know, the Lord is opening so many doors in prison. Last year we had 57, I think, guys, baptized at prison. This year we don't have anyone, but we are praying for next year. But this year so many guys are coming to the Lord. There were so many guys that pick up the cross again, because it's not easy in prison. There are so many gangsters telling them that you need to be a gang member. You can't go out. There's rules about blood in and blood out. I didn't understand everything there. But the only thing I understand is that the Lord is in prison too. And the Lord loves us. And that scripture in Hebrews 13 verse 3 where the Lord said that we must suffer with the prisoners as if we are there. And that was something that really grasped my heart, because the Lord wants us to love the prisoners. The Lord shows us that they are people just like we are people. So if you ever think about prison, it's just a bunch of people. I hope you will change your mind today, because that's my sons. I love them too much. And sometimes I will want to sleep there. You see, I need a watch when I go to prison. Because otherwise, I'm just doing my own stuff. That's why I was so glad JP and Ebrard is not with me, because they are guys reminding me of time. When it was me and Pastor Tiens alone, we come out of prison 12. But this guy said, time is time. And I know they just do their work. We need to do it. But really, if you are there, you don't want to come home. Because that guys are awesome, and they serve the Lord with everything inside of them. And my wish and my prayer is that one day, if the Lord wants it that way, I want to invite them to our church. So that the church will really see how a prisoner can serve the Lord, because they are beautiful. Amen.
Carla. Carla is going to share a little bit about the women's ministry. Thanks.
Am I the last person sharing? Oh, okay. I sat in my chair and thought, if I'm the last person, this is so profound. Because women were made lastly and like, we the best. But we, okay. Anyway, in my mind, it's true. Okay, so this is very daunting for me. I did some scribbles on a paper, but I was really so happy, church, when, hi, church, when Pastor Tiens asked me to share this, because I thought, this is perfect, this is for me. I, this year, have gone through a season where so many ladies have imparted in my life, and it was mainly ladies. There was just one male. It was just ladies, and all those ladies were some years older than me. And the women the women's mentoring group is really about that. It's about ladies coming together and we learning from each other. The women mentoring group really blessed me this year because, as I said, the ladies that shared they've gone before us. We don't realize the ladies that impart in our life, they've gone before us. The struggle you find now in your life, they've already walked that path. It's open for us to walk it if we would just listen to them, if we would just sit with them and listen. I really just want to acknowledge people that really imparted. And I'm going to come to Charlene just now because she was the person that orchestrated this whole thing, and she was so, so faithful in it. And I want to say thank you to people like Tani Rosita, Tani Joanne, Tani Delesky, Tani Blanche, Tani Betsy, Norku, Liesel. This is all ladies that has just imparted in my life, and mainly through the women ministry or the women mentoring group. And the reason why I'm acknowledging these ladies is it's also something I've learned from another lady, and that's Liesel, that said to me, you know what, Carla, when people do something in your life, you acknowledge them. And you don't just acknowledge them face to face, you acknowledge them in front of the whole crowd. So for me, this is just, I was so, so excited when Pastor Tiens asked me to share, because I said, this is my chance. that's one thing. And then I just briefly want to share the fruits that came from that ministry. And it was two things specifically. Charlene came the one day and she brought a prayer journal. She taught us about a prayer journal. And I looked at it and I thought, oh my word, this lady is an intercessor. And she has been doing this for years. And I just don't know where to start, and la-di-la. And I did the whole thing as she instructed, and the book just laid there. And then one day I picked it up and I said, okay, Father, I'll just write my prayers to you. I'll just write it out. And it wasn't long before he showed me every single detail that he answered. Every prayer that I wrote out to him, he came and he answered. So that was one thing. And then the other thing was, okay, there's actually three things, was the Live Your Strongest Story conference. And I think a lot of ladies is nodding now because they were there. And that's also something Charlene organized. And I think it took quite a bit of time to get them here. And that was something to me that was so special, where ladies can share their stories. And there's just so something so special when women come together. I don't know what it is yet, Father will show me, but I just know in my heart that when ladies come together, there's something so, so special that happens. And then the last thing was we had a prayer partner, and God really just blessed me with a faithful prayer partner, Adrian. And that in that case, it's just two ladies that came together, but it was so blessed because it was me, another lady, and God. Just spending time together for hours and hours, and it was so special. And when I wrote all this and I thought about what God has done, I read Luke 1 verse 1 verse 39. I'm quickly going to read this for you. Maybe it won't make sense, but it does in my head. This is where Mary visits Elizabeth. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promises to her." Okay, and then it's Mary's song, but the last verse is, actually it's verse 56. And I thought, Lord, why were you so specific to say this? And it is, Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. And I just concluded that God wants us as ladies to spend time together because we have so much to learn from each other. And I thought, why, Father? Why would you let us know that they spent three months together and then she went home? And I just concluded that it really is special for us to spend time together. Yeah, so that's all. And Charlene, really, thank you. Thank you so much. I know we have one meeting left and then we will say a proper thank you. But God blessed me very much.
Thanks so much, Carla. I'd like to ask Sia. Sia to come forward, please. So it's been great to hear testimonies of the different ministry groups and what it's meant to some of the participants. We have a few personal testimonies coming up. And first, Sia, thanks.
And go, sir. Don't worry, I'm not going to spray too much for you guys. And I'm not going to waste time and try to talk about who I am, who I was before, but I'm going to try to read what is written in Peter 1 and chapter 4. Then you will have the whole understanding who I was and who I am. And I'm not going to waste time and talk about my past, what my parents did to me and how I was raised. I don't have time to do that, but I'm going to read for you guys Peter 1, chapter 4, from verse 3 up until to verse 5. Please bear with me. I'm not a real good reader, guys, but I'll try my best. In the past, you wasted too much time doing what those who don't know God like to do. You were living immoral lives, doing the evil things you wanted to do. You were always getting drunk, having wild drinking parties, and doing shameful things in your worship of idols. Now those friends think it is strange that you no longer join them in all the wild and wasteful things they do. And so they say bad things about you, but they will have to face God to explain what they have done. He's the one who will soon judge everyone, those who are still living and those who have died. I'm not really a good speaker, but you will have a clear understanding if you go back and read chapter 4, and you will have a clear understanding of who I was before. But I'm not going to waste time and try to talk about me. But I'm not even going to mention people's name because I know they are really good believers. When I mean good believers, I don't say good as good, but I mean true believers, because you won't get in heaven just being good. I used to think that. Sorry, guys, man. I'm actually nervous, but I won't mention names, because if I mention names, I will be taking their rewards from them that my Father in heaven has for them. And even this suit I'm wearing, who knows? Guys, I don't even. It's not a suit, it's a blazer. I don't even know what it is. But anyway, guys, I'm standing here as a testimony that I am a born again and I did accept it, my trust. And I'm not even an intern. You did invite me to encounter too. I'm not even an intern, but yeah, I did came because I was bored sitting in my shack. I wanted to be around with people that who can maybe try to help me and give food at that time. Yeah. But I was not aware that Christ would come and save me. Yeah. They really, I even called the guy who healed me, my spiritual mentor, to the letter that I wrote you to Moja. I don't know whether you have read it. I even called the guy who healed me, my spiritual mentor. Anyway, I'm just standing here to give thanks to the Lord. Sorry, guys, I won't mention names because yeah, God is watching and he will bless you. Anyway, yeah, thanks, guys. Yeah.
Everyone remember Gwen? She's back for a short visit.
Firstly, I just really want to give thanks to the Lord. I've been in South Africa just about 4 years. Tiance is going to wave if I overstep the time. Where to start? Since I was three, even as long as I can remember, it's always been flowers, this passion for flowers, painting them, growing them, landscaping. And then about 8 years ago, I had a desire to learn weddings, flowers, you know, floral arranging and all of this. So never ever realizing I would ever come to South Africa. I didn't even know what friendship was. And over 4 years ago, my prayer was, when I realized I was going to come, thinking that I would be with Ross, who I was married to, and my children, or my three children, would be here together, was that, Lord, please could I go and live in the mountains in a beautiful place full of flowers. And I said, Lord, you know me, and I'd love to go and work and learn weddings. At this time, when I first arrived, I was in Constantia. I had no control over any finances in the natural. Ross had complete and utter control over every rand. So every step, gosh, coming to Franschhoek was a step of faith. And as I took that step, so I ended up with the most beautiful little cottage. I found notes that I wrote before I ever came here. When I realized that was going to come about, living in the mountains, working in the winelands, the body of Christ, you're all here, because I wrote you down. I forgot I wrote it. But long story short, I ended up coming to Franschhoek, and every step of the way, I just really want to say to you that I knew I didn't know one person in South Africa, not one. Lara and Harry were at university. Olivia was here, but I didn't know anyone. So my testimony is a dot-to-dot testimony, and each name from the time I set foot in South Africa was in Christ, and how I came and how I ended up here. And for that, I can see the hand of God. He's worked in me. But what I really want to say is that the answer to prayer of 8 years ago about working with flowers, in that write-up was, Lord, could they know you? And Heike, who I work for, she's the South Africa's floral couture design in South Africa. She knows Christ. And every girl that I work with in the team is in Christ. You were all down on the paper. And so, yeah, it's just absolutely incredible. So that's what I stepped into for just under 2 years, was working with them. I've been to the most exquisite places, and yeah, I just really want to give thanks to the Lord. And then before, as I realized that my visa was going to expire, my desire was to, as I said, to go and do weddings in Zim, and I could sort of see everything moving and changing again. I prayed and asked the Lord for a beautiful cottage in Zim. I was here, and I'd been out of Zim for 4 years. Things change a lot in Zimbabwe. You cannot believe what I live in, what God has provided for me. It's exquisite. It's called the Gingerbread Cottage. It's exceedingly abundantly. The reason why I'm back is that I didn't realize I had to have my police clearance to get my residence stamp back in Zim. So I came back for that, but the clock was ticking, and it's the busiest time of year, so I was fingerprinted. Cecilia thought that I would just get it from here, from Franschhoek, but it doesn't. It gets sent to Pretoria, and so I was in the mix with thousands of people, and I've been here just over a month, and I got my police clearance, can you believe it, 10 or 12 days ago, nearly 2 weeks ago. And the Lord answered that prayer. And then it was about 8 months ago, I woke up at 10 to 4, and I was as fresh as a daisy. And I remember I just knelt down by my bed, and I said, Lord, I don't deserve anything, but I'm asking you for weddings in Zim. And he said yes in my ear. And I jumped up, and I was running around thanking him. And when I spoke to Marlene, I said to Marlene, I heard his voice so sweetly and so loudly in my ear. And I said, why did he say that? And she said, because you needed to hear that. He knew you needed to hear it, because that's what I held on to. Because everything in the natural just was, there was, yeah. Anyway, while I've been here in Franschhoek, having got my police clearance, I prayed and asked for a wedding. I said, Lord, please could I get going as soon as possible. I think within 24 or 48 hours, my friend contacted me in Zim, and she said, Gwen, are you going to be back in December? We've got a wedding for you on the 20th. It's at the best venue in Zimbabwe. It's at a Manzi. So I want to thank all of you as well, but more than that, I want to thank the Lord for who he is in my life, and for the flowers, for the weddings. I want to thank you for your love and your kindness, every single one of you. And I'm flying tomorrow. I am leaving. tomorrow I leave very early. And I just really want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. And thank you, Lord.
God provides. Andre, I need to deal.
Good morning, everybody. I won't be long. Art, also don't worry. I won't talk a lot. Tiens asked me on, I think, Friday just to say something about what the Lord has done. I've got a small little business. I started about 2 years ago. I'm now known to many of you guys as the TV man who crawls in roofs and very small spaces. But earlier this year, the Lord challenged me to go into my business like half day. And teens were also asking me if I would consider that. And then I told him, let me pray about it. So after a while, when I prayed, the Lord showed me the picture of Peter stepping out of the boat and just onto the water. And that was it. And then I knew the Lord said that I should start, I should go. And so then I went to Tien, said yes, signed the papers, new contracts. And after a while, I'll still continue to pray about it. The Lord came and he showed me the second picture, the second, the B side of Peter as well, where Peter was walking on the water and he showed me the storms all around. But I was on the water and the storms were all around me. And then he challenged me and asked me, Andre, are you going to look to the storms or are you going to look to me? And that was a huge challenge. And during the course of the year, it's been tough. My wife also started, she also stopped to work. And that was another huge challenge. So that means I was the only guy who was providing for the family, had to pay the bills, had to now pay my wife's bills and all those kind of things. And it was really tough. But surely, the growth was there. God supplied in everything. Many times I would come here, I would go to Moja, I would say to Moja, gee, Moja, I don't have enough money. I have to pay a bill tomorrow. But then only a few hours later, my phone would ring, and later that day, I would have more than enough money to pay my bills and all those things. And what I've also been experiencing in my business as well is that God has just showed me is that my business is not my business, because many times I would just get a phone call from my brothers or friends, and they would ask me if I could just help them, and then I would say to the Lord, gee, Lord, I've just worked so hard for this money, and here you come and wanting me to give and to help someone else. And that was also a huge challenge, but I'm glad that I did, glad that I helped, because the Lord just showed me again Psalm 37, I think verse 3, where the Lord is saying, trust in the Lord and do good, and surely you will feed of the good of the land and of God's faithfulness, and surely you will be fed. And that is what I've seen this year, and especially in the last few months as well, I've seen that. And God also just showed me, you know, there's a scripture also in Habakkuk 2 verse 4 that says that the just shall live, but not just live by faith, but he shall live by and through faith. And that is what I had to do. I had to learn that my business and my walk with God, it is not just to trust in God, but it's also faith, because everything is about faith. And hearing all your testimonies here this morning, the Lord actually gave the scripture to me on Friday as well, but I also just want to share it to all of you. I just want to encourage you. It's Ephesians 3 verse 20 and 21, where the Lord is saying that he is able to do superabundantly far above all that we could ever think of or dream of or hope of or pray of. And that is all due and for his glory. So I just want to encourage all of you and me myself with that. So don't stop praying for your family. Don't stop trusting the Lord for what you are trusting him for. Keep on trusting him and keep on praying, because he is able to do exceedingly abundantly far above all. Amen.
Some of you have met David Stryker. He's from Potchefstroom. He's a good friend of Moja's, and he's recently joined the Shofar Church there, and he'd just like to share us a bit about what God is doing in Porch. So thanks, David.
Yeah, man, it's been amazing hearing all your testimonies and so on, but you know, the body always goes bigger than just our local church and so on, and sometimes it's good for me to hear what's going on around here, and I'm sure what's been happening up in Potch is insane. So for those of you that don't know, the Potchefstroom campus of the Northwest University is obviously in Potch. So what's been so around at the end of 2014, they started the Shofar Potch down there, just a small group of guys. I don't know when exactly they got a venue on campus or so, but for around the first year or so, there was a class on campus. So every day there would be a team of people. Around 2 o'clock on a Sunday, they'd start setting up for a 6 o'clock service at night. And again, they'll probably be out there by 10, half past 10, and so on. And so that was going for around a year, and so on. It started growing and growing and growing in the venue, till eventually they became close to too big. And somewhere in that time, some of you might know him, Pastor Gilly Jordan came down, and he started pastoring the church through last year. And so they moved to a school hall, I think, somewhere at the beginning of this year, in last year, in Gimmies. And so they started growing again in the school hall, going through there, and eventually they started looking at maybe perhaps buying a building in Potch. And there was an old Reformed church building that was sometimes still used by a congregation, sometimes not. And they got the building through a whole lot of stories of faith and so on. I think they're still like on a loan that still have to pay it back and so on. But God's busy moving down there. I mean, at the moment right now, they've got a morning service around probably around 50 to 100 people and so on. But in the evening, they have to have two services because there's too many students to fit into the building. So they have to do two services. And this is what God's been doing up there, actually. And the crazy, amazing part about that is, you know what, that growth continues as they go. The one thing with students is you impact them for around 3 years or so, and then they go wherever they go. Some go internationally, some spread out all over the country. They don't just stay there. So the impact that you make there starts spreading. And I really believe what God's busy doing there is just rising up new people, bring them back to his heart. And when they launched the new building halfway through the year, their whole theme was homecoming. And they started doing for around, I think, a six-week series on basically what does it mean to be a child in God's house? What does it mean to be with Jesus like that? And, you know, that's what God's been doing up here and what he's been doing down here. And one is not more important than the other. And I'm sure the big thing is God's moving all over the world. And sometimes we get a little bit short-sighted, I was going to say, what God's doing with you and in your congregation and so on. And sometimes it's good to just be reminded, you know what, we're not alone in this thing. It's not just us that sometimes have to go through challenges, not just us that sometimes struggle a bit as a local body or so, but it really goes through more than that. And I just want to encourage all of you, think about Jehovah's Watch. If you have time, pray for them. I'm finishing there this year myself. I'm moving over to Joburg, so I'm not going to be there much longer anyways. But God's busy there. As he's busy here, he's busy up there, and he's busy everywhere. And sometimes we just need to be reminded of how God moves in small ways and big ways. Thanks.
I'm looking for Sue. Sue hiding away. Okay, I think she got caught at the guest house. Then last testimony, I'd like to ask Umbram to come forward and share God has done awesome things.
Thanks, Jens. We had a lot of testimonies, and I want to tell you about what happened in our family towards end of September. A huge shock. We got a huge shock. Suddenly it happened, but would I like to tell you about the shock first or what the outcome is? The first section I'm telling because I was told what happened. And because Lida, my wife, was closely involved in it. My daughter-in-law came and visited us with his two children. The eldest one is 18 months old. And the youngest one is 3 weeks old. While I was at work and I got a phone call, Come. We had the doctor. Bram fell in the fish pond. And come. I got there, and it come by. I found him floating in the fish pond. Don't know how long. Cold and blue. Not breathing. His mother grabbed him. And had a CPR at school, pumped him, and a lot of water came out. Rushed to the doctor. We've got two doctors in town. The one is outside in the country club, and the other one lives in Villiersdorp. Straight to the doctor's house, after five. Normally he would be out the way cycling, but it was too cold, so he was at home. On the way there, shouting to the Lord, they shouted to the Lord and asked the Lord for help. He was unconscious, not breathing. And on the road, the way to the doctor, he started breathing. But he was in some shock of something making funny noises. And got to the doctor. The doctor said, no, his heart is pumping, but he's quite dizzy somewhere. I got to this there, and I was told, get him to the ICU in Worcester, 50 k's out. Got to the ICU. While we were driving, he was came in a hum noise all the time. Doesn't react to his name. She phoned her husband, Aubrey, my son. He's out on work in Citrusdal. And we are rushing off to the hospital because Bram fell in the fish pond. Getting to the ICU, the doctor was already waiting for him. They put him in a coma. It was about 6 o'clock in the evening. They wanted to sedate him for 12 hours, packed him with ice because they don't want his brain to swell. So he was put in coma, and they hoped they could keep him in coma for about 12 hours. Now seeing this baby lying there on the ICU table, what do you do? And what I could only do is give him to the Lord. I asked the Lord for a miracle. I asked the Lord to prepare us from what the outcome is after this 12 hours. Okay, in the meantime, Lida went back home, and she picked up the baby, little daughter, still sleeping, her brother's in the ICU, and brought it to Worcester. While driving there, my son got this message. His son is in the ICU, going to the ICU. He's at work with a group. And he said, what could he do? So he gave him to the Lord and said, Lord, thanks for knowing my son for 18 months. What is going to happen is in your hands. But Lord, prepare my heart that when you come back, that I might be ready, still be ready to meet you and meet him if he's not alive. I know what I've put in to him, and I trust you that I will be ready to be reunited with him when you come back. So he gave him to the Lord. The following, work brought him back from Sittersdal, and he sat at the bedside in the ICU that night. The following morning, around 5 o'clock, he came out of his dizziness, and he asked for his mother. And mama is nie hierso nie. Mama is op die plaas. So we took her back, because she was so upset. Her baby couldn't sleep. She's breastfeeding. She's so upset. Her tummy went, everything was upset because she was drinking poison out of this nervousness. He asked for his mother. Mama is nie hier nie. And he thought, okay, carry on. Wie's nog op die plaas? Who's still on the farm? Oma. En wie's nog op die plaas? Opa. So they didn't tell me about that. So the following morning, the Wednesday, I had a big job. I had to close the fish pond properly. Make it into an unprintable, there was mesh on it, but I had to go to Hermanus to get some of these security fence pieces to lay it flat and close it off. But 9 o'clock that morning, the doctors, before that, in the ICU, the doctors were asked by the pediatrician or who's putting the people out if you want to sleep? Anesthetic. How long has he been out? And he said, nobody could answer. But he said he came in with a stretched. And that's brain with a lack of oxygen. Now, I didn't tell anybody about it, because I've also given it to the Lord and said, Lord, it's on your hands, and we're waiting for what's going to happen. So we left it. And then, the morning about 9 o'clock, they transferred him out to the ordinary children's ward, and he was recovering. That evening, that was happening about 5 or 6 o'clock. That evening, next 24 hours later, the group went to buy some Kentucky and what else, because we had to eat. We were sitting there, and this guy started jumping in. He's just eating. He wants chippies all the time. And the following day, they send him back. Nothing wrong. And first thing he went to the fish pond. And he thought he can be Jesus. Or he can be Peter by walking on water. The mesh was strong enough. He could walk in the water. So a shock. And the only thing that we could do was call on the Lord, notify people that can call, also call on the Lord. And we got him back. He knows nothing about it. Totally nothing, nothing, nothing. So a shock, by God's grace, can be turned into a miracle. It was turned into a miracle.
Hallelujah. We just want to close by finally giving thanks to the Lord in a song of worship, if you'll stand with us. God's goodness goes without measure to each and every one of us. The purpose of testifying is to say, God, what you've done for me, you can do for another. It's to build faith in the congregation. God knows your challenge today. He knows what you're standing in faith for. He knows your life. He knows what sins you struggle with. He can save you from all that. Just continuously give your heart to the Lord. Give your heart to the Lord. Speak to Jesus. He's the only one who can save you. Let us worship him together.
Sing that again. You are good. Compares to your embrace.
heart will sing, no other name, Jesus, Jesus. My heart will sing, no other name. Compares to your embrace, light of the world forever.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, that you've welcomed us into your presence, Lord. Thank you that we are welcomed through the blood of Jesus Christ, your Son. That we can enter the holiest, the throne room of grace, where we can obtain mercy and find help in time of need. Lord, you are a very present help. We bless you, Lord, and we thank you, Jesus. The enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but you have come to give us life and life in abundance. Thank you, Lord, that you call us to a victorious life, that we don't have to go through life as victims or just surviving. You have called us to a higher existence, Lord, everyone. But we thank you, Lord, that we can know you, Lord. Before we were lost, but now we are found. We were blind, but now we can see, Lord. And we just give you thanks for that this morning. There's power in the blood of Jesus. Power to set you free. Power to save. Power to heal. This morning, before we partake of this communion together, I just want to ask a huge favor. Didn't ask them before the time, but Moja and Marielle, can you please come forward? We just want to pray for Marielle this morning. Marielle's been struggling for quite a long time with illness. And we just want to agree in prayer for her healing. There's power in agreement. There's power in the blood.
Good morning, church. I was about 2 years ago, I started my honors, and I just became very sick, and I couldn't eat, and I ended up in hospital near septic shock, so they had to operate, and it just kept happening every second month. Nearly died 3 times. And then last year, they finally came to the conclusion that I have a disease that attacks the organs. And this year, I heard that they can't do anything else for me. And next week, I'm getting operated again on to try and repair the damage of what the disease has caused. And I became used to this whole disease. It just really got me to sit at the feet of Jesus once again and just basically my heart, I don't want healing. I just want to experience God for who he is and all what he can do. So, yeah, that's basically what it's all about.
I'd like to ask the elders to come forward and let's just lay hands on Marielle, and if everyone can just agree with us in prayer and just stretch out your hands and your faith to this beautiful woman who's really struggling, but we know God can do. He's willing, he's able. Lord, we just thank you for Marielle. We thank you for her life. We thank you for her faith, her testimony. Thank you, Lord, that you have made her and you have paid for her with a price, Lord, the blood of your Son. And so this morning, Lord, we plead the blood of Jesus Christ over her physical body. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask that you will bring about a miraculous healing, Lord, in Jesus' name. We stand in faith for that. We declare Marielle will be completely healed in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, for a good report, Father. We thank you, Lord, that if there be any further surgery, Lord, that you will guide the physician's hands, Father. That you will show them what to do, Lord God, or what not to do, Father. And Lord, we thank you. You are the healer, Lord. Ultimate healing will come from you, Father. And we thank you, Lord, for the testimony. We thank you, Lord, for the future, Lord. We thank you for their children, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you that we can speak your peace over Marielle and over Moja, over their families, Lord. We just commit Marielle into your hands, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for 100% healing, 100% healing, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, we speak your kingdom over her body now in Jesus' name. We speak divine order over her body and we command this sickness, this disease to leave her presence and her body in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Father, thank you that we can send the word that heals her. By your stripes, she is healed. In Jesus' name, we thank you for that, Father. Amen.
Lord God, Father, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you will open up the floodgates of heaven over this couple, Lord God. We pray for your blessing to be upon them, Lord God, Father. We pray, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that the cattle on the thousand hills is yours, Lord God. And Lord God, we thank you that, Lord, that you love your children and that you love Marielle and Moja, Lord God, and that you've come to give them a future and a hope. And we just declare your blessing and your favor upon them in Jesus' name and your protection, Lord God, and that you will cut off every plan of the enemy to harm them, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you'll cut it off and that you'll bless them in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Let's take communion together, and whenever we take communion, we are proclaiming and declaring what happened at the cross, and that by his stripes we are healed as well. So we claim that healing for you and for everyone here that might be struggling with sickness. As we partake of communion this morning, just speak healing and thank the Lord for health in Jesus' name. Thank you. Lord, thank you that we can just commit the elements of the blood and the bread this morning. Symbols of your blood and your body at the cross. We thank you, Lord, for our salvation. We thank you, Lord, for our healing and our deliverance. And thank you, Lord, for relationship with you, that you made the way for us. In Jesus' name, let's eat together. Let us drink together. Thank you, Jesus. You are the Lamb that was slain for us, for the remission of our sin. You've said in your word that you will remove our sin as far from us as the east is from the west. We thank you, Lord, that you have rendered us righteous through the blood of Christ, cleansed, acceptable in your sight. Thank you that you love us, Lord. Thank you for being here this morning, everyone. I want to invite you, if you have any prayer need, or if you just have a need to connect with Jesus, let us pray with you. We'd love to pray with you. God bless you. Have a great day. Thank you.
themselves on the